Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, the year was 1000 AD. There was a great panic that the end of the world was about to happen. It was about to turn 1000, and everyone believed that this would usher forth the second coming of Christ. And so in preparation for this, men forgave their neighbor's debts, people confessed their infidelities and wrongdoings. The churches were swarmed with crowds demanding confession and absolution. Prisoners were freed. As Christmas AD 999 arrived, there was an outpouring of love. Stores gave away food, merchants refused payment. On December 31st, the frenzy reached new heights. Pope Sylvester II held a midnight mass in the Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome. Finally, as the clock uneventfully ticked past 12, church bells began ringing. Amid weeping and laughing, husbands and wives embraced. Friends exchanged the kiss of peace. Enemies were reconciled, but nothing happened. Wes, there's been a long history of this. We're joined today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, and we're taking up the subject of the end of the world and all the different predictions that have happened and what is to be the Christian's perspective. Wes, why this fascination? What's the story here, the real story?
Well, Chris, I think it's because people, you know, they're drawn to the dramatic, they're drawn to the mysterious, they're drawn to the unknown. These sorts of things are what appeals to the masses.
You know, it's interesting, Wes. If you were to look at, for instance, over church history, and we look at all the predictions that have taken place. I mean, just the Jehovah's Witness, which is a really new movement on the scene. They have predicted Christ's return in the years 1914, 1915, 1918, 1920, 25, 41, 75, 94.
Yeah.
You know, you have enough of these things, somebody's going to get it right at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that all throughout history, we have had these predictions. Maybe we could go through a few of them that have, you know, in our study that have struck us here. Wes, you have a few in mind?
Yeah, well, you can think of, for instance, in the second century AD, there were the Montanists. The Montanists were founded around 155 by Montanus, and they were the first ones who really drew a lot of attention to the end of the world. They believed that Christ was going to return at any moment during their lifetime, and they established kind of a headquarters in Anatolia in central Turkey, where they all gathered together and they waited for the end of the world to take place, for doomsday. Well, and guess what? It didn't happen.
1284, Pope Innocent III predicted the second coming for this year. He based this prediction on the date of the inception of the Muslim faith and then added 666 years to that. You've had all sorts of these sort of predictions. 1524?
Yeah, February 1st, 1524. 20,000 people in London abandoned their homes and they fled to higher ground in anticipation of a second great flood that was predicted to start from the Thames River. And there was, of course, 1666, right? Predictably, a year that people thought that, again, the world was going to end. Containing the, you know, 1666, there's the number 666 in there. There were a lot of people who believed that the end was near in that year.
You know, 1794, Charles Wesley, the founder of Methodism, believed that the world would come to an end that year. Thus concurring with the Shakers, who also anticipated a final reckoning. You have others, same thing, Charles Wesley, in time to commence in 1836. And then you have a, you know, up to recent time, 1910, Halley's Comet. Yeah. That would ensue and bring about the end of the world. All of these predictions, when Jesus made a very straightforward statement in Matthew chapter 24, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then he goes on to explain, Wes, that it, as it was in the days of Noah, what were they doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. He goes on to provide that as an analogy. So it will be when the Son of Man comes. Business as usual right up till the end. Mm-hmm. And boom, there he is.
So were you worried a few days ago when the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland fired up?
Well, they were. There were a lot of scientists concerned it could bring about the end of the world.
Yeah.
We heard. And there's going to be all sorts of these sorts of things. But it really is a perspective that is provided to us in the scripture of how the Christian is to look at this and what Christ has told us and how we are to be prepared. What is the overall message, Wes, in the Bible when it comes to this great event or whatever we might say, the end of the world? How are we to approach this?
Well, as believers, we do so with anticipation. We do so with eagerness because we have the promise that our Lord Jesus is coming for us, and he's going to inaugurate the age to come, that he's going to bring about the new heavens and new earth where we'll live in perfect fellowship with God forever. So as believers, we have nothing to fear from the second coming of Christ. We have nothing to be concerned about, nothing to worry about. On the contrary, we eagerly look forward to it. We expect it. And that expectation also shapes our lives, and it shapes the way we conduct ourselves in this world.
I think it's very sad that a man could write a book, make millions of dollars, and then get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All with this pandering to people's really obsession with end times events, as if some sort of earthquake, some sort of... What I have in mind is the best-selling book in 1970, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, which interpreted a passage from Matthew as indicating the return of Christ would be within 40 years of the founding of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 1948, 40 years has happened.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. Hopes were dashed, and the man made millions.
Yeah.
So there's this sort of expectation that some sort of event, some earthquake, some meteor hitting the earth. I think I remember in that book, or Lindsay taught that all the locusts in Revelation were, if he were looking at it in our day, would be Cobra helicopters shooting us down.
Yeah.
You know, so you could see the endless interpretations that are possible in this.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And people's imaginations run wild with it, right? There's, you know, especially when you're dealing with apocalyptic literature, they're, you know, the images that are there, you know, apocalyptic literature is not easy to understand. It's not easy to grasp. And it, in a sense, it lends itself to this kind of thing. It's not that there's anything wrong with apocalyptic literature in the Bible. The problem is with the interpreters. The problem is with man.
And I think one of the real dangers is that we would all love to pinpoint the day or and the hour, and that's thus all these long history of predictions where people have tried to do this. But I think what it does is remove the focus of Scripture that we need to be ready now. Jesus could come now. We would love to say, well, I'm going to get my life together when I see this event happening or this sort of approach. The whole message of Scripture is, the day is at hand. They were saying this in the first century to one another. The day is at hand. Christ could come at any time. Now, his mercy is extended out for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that message needs to be maintained. He could come at any hour.
And I think another thing, Chris, is that a lot of times eschatology, the doctrine of the end times, becomes the gospel for a lot of people, that this is the main point of the Bible, is to tell us about the end of the world and to tell us about people having chips implanted in their head, or, you know, that debit cards are the sign of the beast. And, you know, when I was a missionary, I would sometimes run across these people who would come to the community where I was working, who were also considering themselves missionaries, and this is what they preached. They were preaching to unbelievers, and they were telling them that, you know, debit cards are the sign of the beast, or that if you have a social insurance number, you know, beware, because you've been compromised. You're being co-opted by the beast, you know, all these other things, instead of preaching to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling them that, you know, you're a sinner and you need redemption, and the way for redemption is through Jesus Christ, through faith in him. You know, instead they focus on all these places in Scripture that talk about the end times, and then they bring in all these interpretations that are difficult actually to sustain at the end of the day.
Well, you bring up a good point. It's interesting how the person and work of Christ is eclipsed in this whole fascination with end times events. I want to focus just for one second here on what Jesus said. This is his focus. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Here's his answer. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore, he goes on, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Right.
So what is the preparation? Are we trusting in Christ? Are we being nourished with the gospel? Have we repented of our sins and turned and fled to him as the only refuge?
Yeah. And let me say to our listeners that, you know, if you're in a church that all you ever hear about is the end times and eschatology, and you don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong church. And you have to find a church where the gospel is preached, where you do hear about Christ as the Savior of sinners.
Right. And he is our only hope and comfort in life and in death. You proclaim him, Wes, at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
That's right. We're located on 52nd Avenue in Langley, just to the east of the airport. People can worship with us on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. You can get more information at our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we wait expectantly for the coming of Christ on the clouds of heaven at any time. We press forward with this great news and gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful day.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.